You've probably heard of the maker movement, but what is it and how does 3D carving change how we bring ideas to life? Joining us is Inventables founder and CEO Zach Kaplan. I'm Scott Gatun, and this is Technori Live. Zach, welcome.
Thanks.
So you were recently a keynote at the Maker Showcase of Technori, so you're a huge supporter of Technori, which we appreciate.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome for the city.
I'm obviously a huge fan of Technori, and one of the first questions I wanted to ask you, actually, I raised my hand, but Seth, I wasn't running Technori at the time, Seth was, so he didn't answer, he didn't like call on me, which just pissed me off. So now I'm going to ask you. I brought you all the way in here so I can ask you, and it's a stupid question. When you were a kid, how many Legos did you play with?
All of them.
I feel like you would just had to have been like a freak, like drilling holes in the Legos to customize, like... Tell me your best childhood Lego build.
So I probably had like three bins of them or something like that. But then I also had Constructs, Tinker
Toys. Yeah, oh, the Tinker Toys. I love Tinker Toys because you could like build whatever you want and then wreck them and it wasn't like a big deal. It
wasn't a big deal, yeah. I think Constructs was my favorite because you could do like really tall things.
Yep.
And I like tried to build a under the bed city.
That's not creepy.
Yeah. Well, because there was glow-in-the-dark stuff.
I know. It's
there's
like,
a little car that
like
went in there.
I have like a sleepover and get out of bed and sort of sneak and look underneath the bed. And there's like, it's like in Men in Black when
exactly,
it's inside
yeah.
the cat's whatever it was called.
It was like Toy Story where they were alive.
Oh, yeah. See, now this is exciting.
So
I think this is an interesting thing. So obviously the people who went to, well, even some of the people in attendance at Technori, I don't think they understood exactly what makers. I think sometimes people believe maker and manufacturing, and there's like kind of this thing, and there's a distinct difference, I feel like, or in some regards, maybe maker is the beginning of what becomes a manufacturing.
Sure.
Why don't you kind of answer that, walk us through what is a maker?
I think it's more about a journey and sort of codifying what's always been here. So if you think about America, people talk about like Yankee ingenuity or building stuff or DIY.
Yep.
And the maker movement has just sort of codified that into putting some focus on it and getting kids excited about what you can make.
Yeah. Well, I guess why don't we jump right into Inventables? Like, obviously, that's a pretty obvious name there.
Yeah.
What is the mission there? Obviously, that's part of what you just said. But what is the mission to Inventables, and how do you think that's going to get kids jazzed about making things and getting away from the video game and all the other things?
Yeah. So the purpose of our company is to bring out the maker in all of us. And our mission is that we're trying to put a 3D carving machine in every school in the country by the end of the decade.
That's a pretty grandiose mission. But although, I mean, in all reality, though, I mean, I think that kids inherently sometimes are more creative and probably could make more out of a MakerBot than like an adult.
Yeah, so there's been lots of studies that kids are most creative in kindergarten, and by the time they get to senior year in high school, it's almost been beat out of them.
Yeah, I have no creativity left. I used to be a creative individual. Now I just stare at white paper and I fall asleep.
But a lot of it has to do with the way that our school system is designed.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like memorize this and regurgitate the answer. And what we're trying to encourage is
when you do that, it ends up with you writing notes for your shows like this, which are up and down and not all that creative. I should have like drawn like a picture of you and like how I would interact.
So, I mean, we're trying to encourage like learning by doing a project, learning by exploring, and really like encouraging that journey. Because along the way, just like a startup, there's failure.
Yeah.
You're going to prototype stuff. You're going to make mistakes. That's okay. It's really just about the journey of learning how to do it.
How are you able to plug into a curriculum, right? I mean, you can't, it's so many hassles and bureaucracy and things with education as a whole. How do you get the kids? Is it after school programs? Is it doing demos in schools? Like how do you get them to plug this into part of their curriculum growing up?
Yeah. So we have Easel. You can go to easel.com. It's free and it's software that lets you design anything you want. And you can make your first carve within 5 minutes.
And where would you go to print it out, or could you have that printed out somewhere?
Yeah, so a lot of the schools have Carvies. You can also go to the Chicago Public Library. Lots of libraries now have them. And then some kids' parents buy them, like our parents used to buy computers.
Yeah.
So you have them in your house.
What would that cost? What is it for like people who
don't
know? The
cheapest one we have is $750, and the most expensive is $2,000.
Okay. So it's not, I mean, it's a high price, but it's really not, like, relatively speaking, all that high.
Yeah, when you compare it to some other toys or video game consoles.
A bicycle and a PS4 and 5 games, and it's done. You've got yourself, like, the top-end party, so.
Yeah, or even, like, some of those, like, Mattel driving cars are, like, a couple hundred, like, yeah. Several hundred dollars.
I just think about all the junk that I have as a kid, and I would imagine this would be pretty awesome.
I mean,
to make things. Like, I don't understand, like, what's not cool about that.
Yeah. Camp is $5,000 to $10,000.
Camp sucks. Did you go to camps?
I did go to camps, yeah.
So you don't think camps suck, then?
It was fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't dig it. We didn't make anything. We just like ran around and was like, oh, here's some balls. I must have got a crappy camps.
I mean, it's true that kids today have more opportunities to make stuff than we did.
Yeah.
Just because the tools available for free or very inexpensive are amazing.
Yeah.
Like you can design. If you look on our site, there's about 1,000 projects that people have designed and posted. Everything from games and puzzles to quadcopters, and some guy made a guitar.
Can he play the guitar?
Yeah, and he plays it at the end of the video. They put up YouTube videos so you can learn, and we've got instructions and free files, so if you don't know how to do anything, you can start with somebody else's and remake it.
So one of the things, I mean, that's kind of an example. It's a great example of the sort of bringing ideas to life.
Yeah.
And that's essentially your motto, right? I mean, we want to try to bring ideas to life. How do you foresee this going with not just your own company, but like the impact you're going to have on people? What would be an ideal world that you've been able to curate or create?
Yeah. So like by working with students now, what you're seeing is they're just kind of getting used to the technology, being able to think of something in your head, design on the computer, and carve it out. And so what that enables is that you can start a business making stuff with zero inventory.
Yeah.
And now that distribution on the internet is basically immediate or free compared to more traditional retail distribution, it means you can start a company with very little cost, just like you used to be able to start a web company. Now you can start a product company. So within 10 years, you're going to see all these students start graduating and just starting companies because they can
just print and make stuff, manufacture stuff right out of their house.
Yeah.
That is absolutely fascinating to me. Is sort of, I think you mentioned this actually at the Technori event, was the distribution channel potential.
Yeah.
So if you're a company, you could employ all these people who have, you know, they've grown up using it. Essentially what you're doing is saying, this is the future, so you're getting it very early.
Yeah.
And for the 10 years from now, they've been doing this for 10 years. So by the time companies are looking to do this and trim back what they're manufacturing, maybe one of the solutions to bringing manufacturing back here to the States is rather than having a huge plant somewhere, you could have little outlets all across the place where people are able to sort of make their own stuff.
It's where it's going. We talk about it at like the end of the next decade, you're going to see this country transform from about 300,000 factories to 3 million.
Yeah. Just everyone's house is a factory.
It's not everybody. No, I don't think it's everyone's house. But it'll be more distributed because there's less of a need for inventory when all the products are digital.
Do you see a change where if this is something that becomes that widespread where, well, I mean, I think long term, I think it will get here, but maybe in the shorter term, do you see people buying these machines and then companies being able to say like, oh, here's the blueprint. We just send it. We send it right to your machine and it just starts making it. So whatever you want, whatever you order from Amazon, there's no need to deliver it. It just starts populating and making.
Yeah, I think that you're going to see all different levels of that.
Yeah.
So maybe like with toys, you'll have different mods that you can download and carve out, or maybe you'll see replacement parts.
Yeah.
You'll go to the dealer and they'll...
The replacement parts is a huge market, I think.
Yeah.
Particularly for dealers. I mean, maybe not... I mean, individuals maybe, yes, but I think dealerships being able to do any of their creation of parts right there on site versus... Well, you can leave and then come back in 3 days and we'll have the part by then. It's like, all right, well, you know I'm going somewhere else now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of that, you know, as more of these things become digital and the tools, the machines to make specific things get better, you're just going to see them more places. It'll just become more normal.
What is your favorite experience so far working with some of the younger kids and ideas and things that you've seen come out of their head?
The coolest thing that you see when you watch these kids is, you know, the kids have no fear.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, on the computer, and then they carve it out. They're like beaming with excitement. Some of the parents are like, is it okay? Are we going to break the machine? And so it's just interesting to see that the younger kids, the exuberance and excitement they have, like unfettered, where the older people, you know, it's a little bit, they're not sure.
And it freaks me out when I see some of these kids do it because they will go to an app
that,
like, they've never seen it.
Yeah.
And they naturally, intuitively, by design, know how to use it and roll with it. And I'm like, this is an admission that's pathetic. We've talked about this with some of the guys that are sitting here filming this.
Yeah.
Snapchat is just, I don't get it. I don't. I can't figure it out. I sound stupid. I sound like an old person. I can't figure it out. I don't understand why people take pictures of things and then it disappears. I don't know why that's cool. But you put it in front of kids and like, chew, snap stories. Look at this. Bing, ding, ding, like videos. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
What is the most embarrassing thing that someone has tried to build in your office? Epic failure or otherwise?
I don't know.
You could have just responded, there's no such thing as an epic failure.
No, I mean, like, that's the thing is we're trying to sort of celebrate those epic fails and teach people it's okay. Like, especially in our culture and our society, like failure is deemed as like this horrible thing. And what we're kind of saying is it's part of the design process.
Yeah.
Let's not get hung up on
anyone. I think
that's
changing quite a bit. I mean, it's starting, it's like they say, you know, in stocks, if you see a tip that's on a cover of a magazine, the story is, you know, it's too late to invest.
Yeah.
I think we're getting to a point where I'm starting to see the fail forward and like sort of that mantra pushing itself to like public domain. It's not in schools yet, obviously, because
it's not in schools. That's I guess that's what I'm saying.
That's the downside. But I mean, even there, I mean, I don't like to fail as in like I don't like to lose, but I think that making mistakes along the way is part of the like the discovery, right? I mean,
yeah.
How many times did you spin around the Lego until it fit?
Exactly.
It's the same thing. It just isn't as catastrophic as an F on a page.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, learning by doing, like when it doesn't fit, that's how you learn that it didn't fit.
Yeah.
If you don't try it, you don't know.
Pretty cool stuff, man. What is going to be the next main place and thing that's going to be going on with Inventables?
So we're starting to put Carveys in every school. You can go to inventables.com/50states. And we just launched a crowdfunding platform. So if your school can't afford to get a Carvey, the $2,000.
They would go on your inventables.com and they can. That's where the platform is for that crowdfunding?
Yeah. So we just launched the first school. It was St. Mark's in El Paso, Texas, and they successfully funded it. So today, actually, we're launching a few more. And we're going to make it available for any school that – so you can sign up for free. So if your school doesn't have the budget to get one but you want one for your curriculum – go on our site, sign up the form, and we'll help you create a page, and then you can crowdsource the funding to get your Carvey.
Awesome.
So we're really excited.
I love what you guys are doing. I love what you guys are doing. Thank you so much for coming back. You've been a great supporter of Technori, and I appreciate that.
All right, thanks.
Speaking of Technori, teams have been announced. Flying in from LA is Youngry, Chime by Sitter City, Convo, Social Life Chicago, and Crowdfind. Tickets for the July showcase being held at the Chase Auditorium on Tuesday, July 26th are available at technori.com. You can stream this episode and more on WGNBusiness.com or download each of our episodes on iTunes. And stay up to date by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.